Yeah, was that his question? Yeah, so I was, is this going? I don't see it. Oh, yeah, it's going, yeah. What? Yeah, it's, it looks like it's gone.
Oh, he was actually telling me about it last night.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
Yeah.
So the thing is, so, you know, Ben was asking about, because we were saying that tshuva requires that the person have the same relationship to the chait, emotionally. You know, that he is still in love with the girl or whatever the case may be, right? So, what was his question? So, we were saying if the person's not in love, then that wouldn't be tshuva gemura, right? Because since he doesn't have the same relationship, so he when he abstains from the sin, it's not the same. It's not the same tshuva, right? So Ben was saying that how can a person change his relationship to a chait? And I was. Right. In other words, if a person has a certain relationship to somebody else, it's a love of somebody else. Who says that he ever loses that love, or if he values something, values a particular thing? Who says a person can ever change his values? Was that basically what he was asking?
Talking about him last night for a bit, he was saying that like if it's based on like a very you know, like emotional desires. So, like, if you like with a girl or you know whatever, maybe food. I don't know. If it's it's just a pure emotional like attraction. It's instinctual. So, like, how can you ever like uproot that?
Right. How could you
that itself?
Right. I mean, how could you ever uproot that? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking like this, that any time a person enjoys something or values something, it has to be based on something else. It's based on the premise that he considers that thing the ultimate good or a good.
Consciously?
Consciously, unconsciously. I'm not, you know, differentiating between where in the mind that premise resides. But any time the person values something, he has to first think in his mind that this is a good thing for me. That this is something that's beneficial for me, and that this is a good, right? If a person feels that a certain particular preoccupation is bad, is an evil, he can't really value it. He can't really bring himself to enjoy it. So every time a person enjoys something, it's based on the premise that he considers that thing good.
So you see? Can't do something thinking, oh, this is bad for me, and
yeah.
Do it anyways?
Exactly. In other words, what he'll do is, if there's something that people generally consider bad, and he himself may have thought at one time it was bad, but at the time when he does it, you're going to ask him, well, why are you doing that? He's going to give you an answer. He's not going to say, oh, I don't know. Right? He will give some kind of justification or some kind of benefit that he expects to receive from that thing.
You can't say, I'm doing a bad thing right now.
I'm doing a bad thing for no reason. Well, why are you doing it?
No, I enjoy this. I know this thing's bad. I enjoy this bad thing, but I know it's bad.
I know it's bad.
I can eat 12 donuts in a row.
That's right. But why am I doing it? Because I'm going to get a tremendous enjoyment from it, right? So in his mind, what he's saying is that the enjoyment that I'm going to get, you see, is greater than the harm I will receive when I wake up the next morning. That's what he's thinking to himself. He's thinking, yes, it is bad for me. Yeah, I know in the future this thing, I'm going to regret it maybe because it'll give me an upset stomach. But right now, how could you compare? Mm-hmm. He's saying, right now he's saying the enjoyment's worth it. He has to be saying that.
Yeah, meaning most people...
Because otherwise, why is he doing it?
Yeah.
What's the difference between him and a guy who doesn't do it? The other guy says, yes, I agree it's enjoyable, but I don't want to suffer the next morning. That suffering is worse than this enjoyment.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. See, that's why Plato says that an evil person suffers from one thing. From, well, how does he put it? He says the evil person suffers from short-sightedness. He has an inability to measure properly. He says good and evil is just a question of measurement. Why? Because what you're doing is, When you do something evil, what you're saying is the benefit exists right now. You see, there is a benefit right now. But years in the future, there'll be a harm. You see? Now, the reason why right now always gets him is because when you look at an object very far away, it appears very small. You see? So Plato says that same phenomena exists in the mind's value system. When the mind sees something very far in the future and recognizes that's an evil, but the evil looks very small. You see? And when the mind sees a good, but the good is right here, that good looks very big. You know what I mean? So now what happens is, in order for a person to make a decision, he has to do a process of measurement. Because every action has good and bad. There's no action that's purely good, no bad consequences. Right? So anytime a person does a choice, he has to go through a process of measurement. Now, if he's a bad measurer, what happens is he doesn't take into consideration the distance. So he goes, hey, this thing, this good is this big. That bad is this small. This is a no-brainer. Take this. You see? But a guy who knows how to measure, that right? A person who knows measurement, he's saying, 1 second, we have to do a little calculation here. That looks that small, but we have to multiply it by the distance. In reality, that thing is 10 times as large as this. You see? So a person that's the tzaddik is the person that has the ability to measure. You see? That's all it is. It means the mind is not blinded by the here and now. You see, but he's able to look at something far away and say, well, 1 second, it's true, it's very far away. But that day will come someday. Now, do I really want that consequence? Even if it's 10 years from now. In 10 years, I'm going to have that consequence? That's not worth it. If I would have that consequence today, would I do it? I mean, would a guy take a puff of a cigarette if he knows that he's going to the doctor in the afternoon, the guy's going to tell him, because of that puff, you got cancer? I don't think there's too many people on earth that would do it. You know what I mean? But the problem is, the doctor is 10 years away. Hey, that looks pretty small there, and this is very... I'll go for this. Yeah. So that's how a person could change his value system. Because value system and likes and dislikes is always based on the good.
Yeah. Right.
So if a person reanalyzes and go, hey, 1 second, I made a mistake in measurement. That thing's pretty large. Uh-oh. I better stay away from this.
Yeah.
Make a change and change like that. Yeah.
Right. So if at a certain point in time, your mind was less developed and you had less of a perspective, in this measurement system it was less developed, and you had like an infatuation for a girl and a lot of time or whatever.
That's right.
And then you started developing your mind and, being involved in this, and 5 years later, you were a lot better at doing these, so your value system was better. And then you encountered that same girl again. So you would have it in a different perspective, so maybe you wouldn't value that
either
anymore. However, it seems that at a certain point to me that you would still be affected by that type just because it's, because you're like, she's a beautiful girl, or like,
People aren't affected by beautiful girls. Not really.
No?
No.
I mean,
but the history is...
I mean, it just seems at a certain point, it's gonna...
People are not affected by beautiful girls.
You're saying the history of the emotions doesn't exist on that, then?
See, it can't... Emotion cannot go beyond the reality principle. If there's a reality in your mind telling you that thing is gonna kill you, I don't care how pretty it is.
You could acknowledge the fact that, okay, she is attractive.
I am
attracted to her.
But it's not a good idea.
I'm not going to do it.
You ever see a beautiful girl? You're like, oh, that girl's beautiful. And then you see her the next day, and you see her smoking 10 cigarettes. You're like, and then the next second, you're like, nah, I don't know.
It doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, no, you're right. Beauty, that emotion of a beautiful girl is a very passing emotion.
Yeah,
because you see many people, when they say beautiful girl, right? But then who do they marry?
Right.
Say, hey, whatever, I understand. Because beautiful girl, that's what I said.
But really,
I mean, what do you mean? They marry somebody that they love, right? And that doesn't mean somehow or other, hey, what happened to the beautiful girl? Well, if you could love anybody, beautiful girl. Why not pick a beautiful girl? Because that really doesn't affect them.
Yeah,
it's a momentary thing.
But even that guy 5 years later, who's more developed, he still has that human, physical, attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the same.
But that's not what the Rambam's talking about. When the Rambam's talking about avaso, that he still loves her, it means that he loves her.
Oh,
not okay. That he says, "Hey, she's a
beautiful
girl."
So he still could have, like, you know, the attraction, but he just, like, puts it in a different perspective, and he doesn't.
Well, the attraction—that's what I'm saying. The attraction to somebody is a combination of many things. It's not just a physical attraction. That's an animal. In the animal kingdom, it's a physical attraction. The animal doesn't have to get to know the personality of the other animal. There's no concept like that.
Yeah.
In a human being, attraction to another person is made up of many components. It's not just a physical attraction, you see? So that's why you could find somebody that you fantasize about, wow, if I could be with this person, whoa, you have a certain idea in your mind of the person after seeing the face, right? Then you spend 3 seconds talking to the person, and you go, okay, I think I've had enough of this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's not, attraction is not just a physical is part of it. Physical attraction is part of it, but it's much more than that. The mental is a much greater component than the physical.
Yeah.
And the Rambam's, like, discussing not just the physical, like all the elements.
Avasa.
Right, if you take Yosef, for example, like, I mean, he, you know, still, it was still tempting for him, even though he realized, like, this is not, like, a girl that would, you know, has good values or whatever. I mean, but he experienced those arousal, probably. I don't know. But he held back. He was able to.
He held back. That's right. But he really had a tremendous love for her.
Oh, that was love. That was.
Seems so. Otherwise, why does he have to hold back? She's just a pretty girl. Okay. You've seen one, you've seen them all. Right. Rashi says he went there to have relations with her. But then at the last minute, he pulled back, right? He held himself back. But he really loved her, so she must have been somebody that was that was quite an intelligent and quite a captivating person. I'm sure she was not, you know, just
right.
A pretty face on one of these magazines. You know, she must have been that if you speak to her, she's quite a person.
Yeah, I don't see why you can't have sexual desire divorced from love.
What's that?
Isn't there such a thing as a person having a sexual desire divorced from love?
Yeah, you can have sexual desire. You can have internal sexual desire. But a person you love, right? If it's an isha that he loves, that's not just sexual desire, because you could have.
No, why couldn't you put that in the same category?
Like she's seduced. That's
a different thing.
It seemed like just a sexual.
No. He loved her.
It's much deeper.
No, but practically, what there's like
he loved her.
In a case where you just have just pure sexual like desire, like what difference does it make whether you love her or not? Like if you have the ability to refrain from action, that seems to is the important thing.
What do you mean? No, if you don't love her. You mean the Rambam's case, what the Rambam's talking about? No, because the Rambam says that that he did a chet with somebody he loves. And now, if he no longer loves her, so then that's not real tshuva, because he doesn't love her anymore.
Right.
So what did we say?
So we asked the question, well, 1 second, that would mean to say that to do real tshuva, he's not allowed to improve himself. Because if he improves himself and now he doesn't love her anymore, so then you'll tell me he can't do tshuva gemurah. Right? So we said, no, the Rambam's saying there are two frameworks of tshuva. Right, one tshuva is two things. Tshuva is a tshuva from breaking the halachic system. That tshuva. So that tshuva, the Rambam is saying, if you want tshuva gemura for breaking the halachic system, it has to be that you have the same desire to break the system, right? But if you are talking about tshuva in terms of personal perfection, improving yourself, so then obviously. A person that redirects his energy towards Chachma and no longer is in love with her, that's an indication of a greater tshuva in terms of philosophic tshuva. That's certainly greater. But certainly, tshuva gemura in the philosophic is certainly where a person perfects his emotions and he's no longer on the same level. But tshuva gemura in terms of the halachic system, that it's only if he happens to be on the exact same level and now he refrains simply because halacha tells him he can't do it. Makes sense, yeah.
So what we're saying in terms of the distinction between the sexual desire, solely sexual desire, and also the emotional, it's just a matter of measurement. In other words, you need a stronger measuring sense to be able to refrain from the love, but the sexual desire doesn't require as much. That's what we're saying.
The sexual desire
still requires some. Maybe you need to have some foresight.
Right.
Not much, maybe. I don't know what I'm saying.
That could be. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm just saying that you refer.
I was referring to what we were saying before. I was going back to that point.
Oh, with regard to that point.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
All we were saying was that a person that makes a choice between two ways, between good and evil, he's always measuring. Okay. So a person that picks something, he's always measuring that's greater good than evil. Okay. He has to make that measurement. And as a person involves himself in an activity or a pleasure, he has to be saying, this thing is greater good than evil. So he's making that measurement, right? Now, the question is, how good is he at measuring? Because in measuring, there's a tricky process, because sometimes the evil is very far away, and it's hard to measure. It looks small. So the tzaddik is the person that is not fooled by the immediate, but he measures in absolute terms. He says, what if that result would be today? Would I do this? No? Then I can't do it. You say, that's the tzaddik. The Rasha says, well, it's not today, so it looks very small, so I'm going to do it. But both people are operating in the same operating system. The operating system is, we're only going to do things that are good.
He just denies it, the Rasha.
The question is, how do you measure? How do you measure good? That's the whole difference between the tzaddik and the rasha. How do you measure the good? Do you measure it by how it looks, or by the reality?
Yes. That's your question on your. So you're saying the idea is that a person doesn't act unless the thing they're going to do, they consider in some sphere of their mind is good.
Right.
But you're not commenting on the source of that thing.
Right.
So it could be anything. It could be an instinctual force, but at some point it's going to have to pass through a mechanism of the mind which says, okay, that thing's good.
Right. Yeah, he's going to have to, one part of the mind is going to have to say, wow, this is a good thing to do. I'm going to really enjoy this. I have to say that.
Right. To give you some sort of internal satisfaction.
Guy's going to have to say, why am I doing this? And he has to answer that question. He can't just do things. He has to answer that question. The question pops up in his mind, why am I doing this? He has to have an answer.
Right.
Has to be a reason. So since there has to be a reason, therefore all of our actions are controlled by the ability to give that answer correctly or incorrectly. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Okay, so the Rambam goes a little further here. Okay? So that was Tshuva Gemurah. Tshuva Gemurah is when he's on the exact same level as when he did the chait, and now he abstains. Okay? But then the Rambam says, Hu sheshlomo amar v'zachor es barecha b'mei b'churosecha. Okay? That a person should do tshuva when he's young. Don't wait till you're old. Might be easier when you're old, but don't wait till you're old. Okay? So the Rambam says, V'im lo shav ela b'mezik nuso. But if he does wait till he's old, okay, and that's when he does tshuva. Ube'es she'i efshar lo lasos ma shehaya ose. And at a time when it's impossible, he's not physically able or emotionally able. He's not able to do the chait anymore. Okay? Then the Rambam says, "Afal pi she'eina tshuva meula," even though it is not the perfect tshuva, okay, "mo'eles hi lo," it is effective for him. In other words, it's considered tshuva. "Ubal tshuvahu," okay, and he is considered a bal tshuva. It's not tshuva gemura, okay, because he can't do the chait anyways, but nevertheless, it is considered tshuva. Okay, so I would just like to understand why, if it is not tshuva gemura, why is it tshuva at all? If you're telling me that the man abstains from the sin because he can't do the sin, meaning if he could do it, he might do it, right? Now, as the man's too old to do the chait, Okay, so now he arrives on the situation, okay, or he doesn't love the girl anymore, okay, and he arrives on the situation and he doesn't do the chait. Okay, very nice. But why is that tshuva? If he had the ability to do the chait, he would do it. And that's why it's not tshuva gemura. Because if he had the ability to do it, he would do it. What's preventing him from doing it is his old age. So that's not tshuva gemura. So why is it tshuva at all?
Well, what's he saying? What's the tshuva? He's just saying, I regret it.
Yeah, he says, I regret it. It's a bad thing. Okay? I regret that I did it. I'm never going to do it again. Fine.
Although, but he would if he could.
But if he would, let's give a case. If he could, he would. He would do it. If he wasn't in this situation, then he would repeat the chait. Okay? So why is it tshuva at all? I mean, mamanashach. If you're going to tell me he went through the process of analyzing it and seeing that it's a bad thing and removing himself from the chait, so it should be tshuva gemara. What's the difference? He can't do it. But he totally withdrew from the chait. And if you tell me that that's not tshuva gemura, because if he was in that situation again, regardless of everything he's done, he'd repeat the chait. So why is that tshuva? My question is simple. If you tell me what's preventing him from doing the chait, aside from all of his tshuva, he did tshuva fine. He's sorry he did the chait, he did tshuva. But what's preventing him from repeating the action is something external to him, his old age. So why is that considered tshuva?
He still went through the mechanisms of tshuva.
Okay.
He's just lacking one part of it. That's why we don't call it a tshuva gemura or a tshuva me'ula. But he did do tshuva, regardless of what his physical state is.
Okay. He did do tshuva, but he would repeat it if given the chance.
Lacking sincerity, it seems. Not a sincere tshuva.
So is that tshuva? In other words, if I do tshuva, but if given the chance, I would repeat the same aveira. Is that tshuva?
Well, what part of tshuva do you mean? Like, meaning, isn't there two parts? Isn't there the system and the atoning for the sin itself?
Okay. So let's say
when you say, is it tshuva, do you mean, is it atoning for the sin?
Well, let's take either one. Tshuva in terms of the system. Okay? If I do tshuva, right? But yet, if I given the opportunity, I would repeat the chait. Right? Should we consider that tshuva?
No.
But you don't.
Right. But you don't. I mean,
but you don't.
Situations
the okay. same. But you don't. But the reason why you don't is
but that's where the second part comes
okay.
in. But the,
okay.
in terms of just that, using that as the only framework.
Yeah.
If the only framework was the system, and that was all you had, you didn't have the second half of tshuva, then it would look like you're good because the situation is the same. I mean, because you being old is external to you, or something, you know. So really, you're atoning for this thing, and now.
Well, even in terms of the system, the Rambam says it has to be the exact same situation, that you are able to do it, you have the same desire to do it, and you only abstain because of one thing, because the Torah tells you not to do it. Right? So what is why is that? Why are the two levels of tshuva? I'm just saying, okay, I'm not saying it's illogical. I'm not saying it's illogical. But why are the two levels of tshuva? In other words, if we were writing this, okay, and somebody asked us, you formulate Hilchos tshuva. Would you have a formulation like that?
Maybe.
I don't know. It'd be a little, you'd say, well, I don't know. He did something, but he would repeat the chait.
He didn't even do it.
But if you were to repeat the chait, right, let's say he would actually follow through in the action in this old age, then all his tshuva was nullified. Whatever tshuva he did, then it wasn't really tshuva. He didn't do anything.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's say, for instance, a person is able to repeat the chet, and he abstains. So then we say that's tshuva gemura, right? He did tshuva gemura. Okay. Let's say next day he comes across the situation again and he falls in. So is that mevatel his tshuva gemura, or do you say no? He was a complete shav, and now he did a chet. Okay, he did a chet. He was
starts over again.
He starts over again. I mean,
yeah.
The person did tshuva. He's a tzaddik, and now he chooses to be a rasha. I mean, every day is a new choice, right? So we could say the same thing here.
So what about if you say that he took into account his old age when he was making the atoning? Like, what if you say, well, I know I can't do this again, so that's what, meaning when I atone, I'm saying I'm never going to do this again, but taking into account his old age, he's not able to.
He's not able to say that.
No, that he's not able to do it again.
Oh, he's not able to do it again. So he's taking that into account. Fine. So you mean, therefore, that's part of the tshuva.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so I agree with everything you're saying, but I think that if we would want to convince a person of this argument, we'd have to say a little more. What you're saying is correct, is definitely what the Rambam means. Okay. But we'd have, what's that?
What is that? I'm not completely grasping what he said.
In other words, he's saying that the person did something, the person was a shove. The fact that he can't do it again, it's not his fault. I mean, okay, maybe he would repeat it if in a different situation. But right now, the way he is, he's a shove. Okay?
How is he a shove? In what way?
He's sorry he did it. He would, he
the question is, what does that
mean? He's sorry he did it. He'll never do it again now. Thank God that he's happy that he can't do it again. I mean, but what are you saying? That's what I want to get across. In other words, what you're saying, you see, you're saying correct. That's definitely what the Rambam means. But you have to say a little more. You see, what the Rambam means, and this we already said a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, but you see, the premise of the question is that tshuva is tshuva from a particular chet, from that action. I am never going to do that action again. You see, if that's what tshuva is, then the Rambam is difficult. Because what do you mean you're never going to do that action again? Of course you're never going to do that action again. You're sitting in prison and they won't let you out to kill somebody. I mean, big deal, you see. So if tshuva is from the action, then it's unclear. But what the Rambam holds is that tshuva is really not from the action. You see, it's not just you're never going to do that action again. Tshuva is a return to God. You see, when a person does a particular chet, really what he's saying is, I reject the system of reality. I reject God's system of chachma and reality. I don't want that anymore. I want an instinctual world. See, that's really what the guy's saying. He's saying the good is my instincts, not what my mind tells me. You see, the tshuva is really a tshuva from that value system, from changing his value system. And the tshuva is, he returns to the real value system where he values God and reality, where that's his guiding light. You see, that's what the Rambam means the tshuva is.
So he didn't necessarily get to the bottom of why he had an issue keeping cautious or something like that.
Right.
But he still realized that he had an issue relating to the system, so he came a little closer, but since he didn't get to the bottom of the particular...
Well, what it means is, even if the person would repeat the action, that's true, he might repeat the action, but the way he is right now, he definitely regrets it, and he's away from the world of the instinctual. If he was presented with his old situation, let's take a simple example. Forget about it, he's old. Let's say the guy's in jail. He can't do the chayit anymore. That's it. You see? Now, it's true he can't do that particular action. And maybe if he'd let him out of jail, he would revert back to the old way. You see? But the way the man is right now, you see, he definitely rejects the value system of the instincts. And he definitely is embracing the value system of reality, of chachma and reality. You see, now it's true he's getting help. He can't do it alone. In other words, there are two types of people. One person is a person that could function perfectly in any situation. I don't care, you could put the guy anywhere. His mind is directed towards one thing, chachma. Doesn't matter, you could put the guy in Mitzrayim, Yosef HaTzadik. You could put him in the house alone with this mistress. Doesn't matter. His mind's on one thing, chachma. You see, so he could function perfectly in any situation. There are other people that can't do that. Can't do it. Put him in a bad situation, breaks down. You see, but given the right situation, person can function. His mind is on chachma as long as the conditions are right. You see, that's most people. That's why people don't expose themselves to bad situations. Morally bad situations, because as long as they're in the right situation, they could function with chachma. You see, and they could function perfectly. So that's what the Rama means. What the Rama means is that it's not the criteria is not will you repeat this action. You see, the criteria is are you back in line with chachma. If you are, that's tshuva. You see, now the fact that you may need help to be back in line with chachma, okay, people need help. So you need the help of old age. Because if you still had your young youth, you wouldn't be able to be in line with chachma. You see, but right now, with your old age, you're perfectly in line with chachma. So that is a tshuva. Because right now, the state of the person is, he's perfectly in line with chachma. You tell me, yeah, if he would have his old life back, he would revert back? Okay, fine. He'd revert back, but right now the guy's not reverting back. Right now the guy's 100% in line with chachma.
So when you say back in line with chachma, I guess like it needs a little definition. Like back in line with chachma doesn't mean that he can't want to do these things. Like I would think chachma means like you have your, like what you want, your desires are aimed in the right direction, right?
It means that he recognizes that the good for man is abiding by reality.
So why would he do the thing again if he had a chance?
Because if he had the old situations, his instincts would be so powerful, they would cause him to lose that idea. They would blind his mind. He knows that in that situation, my mind would be blinded. But right now, my mind is not blinded, and I see the truth.
But you don't, because you want to do the thing.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't want to do
it. He doesn't want to do the thing. In other words, whatever he wants to do, but he knows... I may want a lot of things. I'm not going to do them because I recognize the good is the truth. I may want to do a lot of things. Yeah, a guy may be angry when I want to kill somebody. That doesn't mean I'm going to do it. You see? But right now, the man's value system is the truth and reality. You see? Now, if you ask this guy, well, let me ask you, sir. Let's say we put you 30 years back where your instincts are powerful. And you got blinded by your instincts, like the last time. Do you think you'd be able to retain this frame of mind? If he was honest, he might say, no. I'd be blinded. What could I do? You see? But does that mean right now he's not in the correct frame of mind? Right now he's in the correct frame of mind. Why do I have to evaluate him by what would be if he was in a very stressful or emotionally powerful situation? Why do I have to evaluate him in that way? That's a different evaluation. That means, is he absolute? Is this state of mind in him an absolute? No, it's not. But relative, yes. So that's what the Rambam says. The tshuva gemura means it's an absolute frame of mind. It means there's nothing in reality, no external thing that could dislodge that idea that he has in his mind. That the good is chachma and Torah, there is nothing that could dislodge it. That's tshuva gemura. You see, that means it's an absolute value system. But the Rambam says that people don't always operate in the absolute. A person operates in two levels. He operates in the absolute, but many people also operate in the relative. It means under these conditions, I have the absolute correct value system. In these conditions. You see? So that's what the Rambam means. The tshuva she'ina gemura, it's a tshuva, because he has the correct value system. But it's relative to his situation. You see, that's a tshuva also. But you can't say that's the same tshuva as an absolute value system. That's different, that's a higher level. But that doesn't mean that a relative value system is nothing. Can't say that's nothing. That's the way most people function. And that's the correct way to function. Yeah.
Like, halakhically, and just looking at it mechanically, like, it makes sense that that would be a good tshuva.
Yes.
But if you get down to, like, the philosophical ideas behind it, then you have the question that we started off with. It doesn't look like, you know, how can that be a good tshuva?
How could it be a good tshuva for me? Because he would fall
right.
in.
Right. I'm just saying, like, it would make sense. The question wouldn't even come up to me if you looked at it at a pure halakhic standpoint.
Right.
Because you're going through the halakhic mechanism.
Right.
And that's what
yeah,
happened.
But I say philosophically it makes sense too.
No, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. But I'm saying the question only comes
up as
so far
yes,
philosophical.
Yeah. That's correct. Yes.
So last time we were saying that the tshuva gemura meant in terms of the system of mitzvahs. But it sounds like now you're saying the distinction between the end of the Rambam and the beginning is in terms of like a philosophical idea. I'm just not sure how.
You could apply this to both frameworks, because you could, right? Can you apply this to both frameworks? In other words, we're saying a tshuva she'ena gemura means it's relative to his conditions. He's on the right path, but only if he has the right conditions.
Right.
So, in terms of the halachic system, also, he's able to follow the halachic system given the right parameters. But if you'd expose him to other parameters, he couldn't follow the halakhic system.
Therefore, it's not
gemura.
Because the gemura would mean
gemura is absolute.
To demonstrate that he's committed to the system.
In any framework, that's right. It's an absolute. It's a Yosef Hatzad.
So it's really more general than we said. It applies to both frameworks.
Well, this last part, yes. This last part, that's
right.
Correct. That's correct. Okay, but that would be the difference. You know, Yosef Hatzad. And a regular person, as long as he stays away from those situations, he's fine. And the fact that he wants to do that and he is committed to stay away from those situations, that shows in his mind the correct value system exists. He's committed to the correct value system. And that's what we said. Tshuva is really not, it's not from the particular avera. It's from his false value system. You see, that's why we said, because in the Vidoy, you say, Chatasi avisi pashati lefanecha, right? Oh, that's right, you say three things. You say, Chatasi avisi pashati, right? Now, Chatasi is from Shogeg, and pashati is from Mezir. Well, what's he doing tshuva for? What's he doing Vidoy for? What's the chet a Shogeg or a Mezir? Why say all three? He's only doing Vidoy for one. So the answer is, you say all three, because it's not the particular action. The particular action shows he's on the wrong course. So when he does vidoy, he has to be misvade that he's on the wrong path. He's on the path of shogeg mezir. He's on the false path. That path involves all kinds of things. Right?
You also enunciate the chet itself?
Chet itself, that's right. You have to relate to the chet itself. But you have to, the tshuva has to be from the derech ra, not from the particular. It has to start with the particular, but it has to be because of the derech ra. Yeah.
So in terms of, and then in terms of the absolute versus the relative worker,
yes.
Whatever, the we're saying the same way to attain absolute would be to be able to change your measuring system.
Same thing.
And you do that through chacham.
Through Chacham.
So
the absolute guy could measure correctly under any situation. The relative guy needs a little help there.
I'm not sure if we talked about this already, but like we find that, at least in terms of Chacham, there are some of the greatest Chachams, like Yeravim ben Nevat.
That's right.
Had some of the biggest, were some of the greatest Chachams, had some of the biggest flaws in their measuring
systems.
Right,
they were great Chacham, but not in one area, the area of measuring.
So,
they good
I thought
area.
We were saying that they're interrelated. Like that's what it seems.
Yeah,
like
it requires tremendous chachma to measure properly, but it's not sufficient.
What else is required?
You have to apply your chachma a lot.
That's good.
So fine. So what does that mean?
That means you have to use your chachma to determine, to be honest with yourself, and figure out whether or not this is really a good thing.
So, but then you should be able to do it. If you're a chacham, then you should be able to do it.
Well, no, you can be very smart, but if you're not intellectually honest, then it's no good. You have to really be honest with yourself and say, this is not going to help.
You can't necessarily identify every component of the mind which determines whether a person applies his knowledge to an area or doesn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the only thing we could say is showing the effects. The effects are, yes, he has tremendous chachma, but he did not apply it to the area of measuring. Why he didn't do it? We don't know. Could be an emotion overcome. A person could have tremendous chachma. That doesn't mean that he can ward off a powerful emotion.
Still a human being.
See, so I make a mistake in measurement. See, even Einstein. He's right. They asked him a question on his theory, and he tried to rebut the guy. He wrote a rebuttal against this physicist that your thing is crazy, and the physicist wrote back, really? Well, you added wrong. Or you divided by zero. So he made a simple error in calculation, right? Because he had an emotion. He was defending his theory, so he made a simple mistake. Divided by zero, eighth grade can tell you can't divide by zero. How can Einstein do that? Yeah, very easy. There's a lot of chachma, but there's an emotion. There's an emotion, you can't measure, right? So sometimes the emotion prevents you from doing the simplest thing that a very small, a much smaller person can recognize right away. What are you doing? It's crazy. What'd you do that for? Right? Guy's a great chacham and he's acting. He says, any guy, a stump guy, could say, this is crazy. You're a great chacham and you're doing this. Doesn't matter. Because if a guy's an emotion, that's it. All the chachma.
See, I mean, you see it all the time.
That doesn't not make him a great chacham.
That does not make him a great chacham.
Doesn't necessarily have to fall within the framework of Torah, but like you see, there's great scientists who are great chachamim in their area, but they'll completely have an emotional in the religious area.
That's right, exactly.
And like that Dawkins guy.
Dawkins, you know, Feynman, and I like all these guys.
That's right. Yeah.
So what does it mean in like the formula of tshuva, where the Rambam talks about tshuva, I forgot the exact terms, but in the Chozal Adavrazah, or Yazar Achim Lulibo, so is it just saying, like, could be, you still do tshuva just from a practical. Is it practical, or is it? It would seem like tshuva when a guy says, "Leolam
he says,
right. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like that's real. It sounds like tshuva requires yazava chomin hachay miliba.
That's right.
But
you're saying
just. It's not really Melibo, is it?
No, it is Melibo. It's
Melibo. Because you're in prison. I mean,
no, but it is Melibo. It's Melibo. The only thing is, a guy could. The guy is absolutely committed to do the correct thing. But if you would ask him, well, sir, if we would put you in a situation where you are tempted by tremendous desires, would you be able to retain this conviction? Maybe not. But does that mean he doesn't have the conviction?
Right, it's a different situation.
Yeah, let's say a guy says he is committed, he is not going to smoke cigarettes. Not going to smoke cigarettes. That is it. Absolutely out of the question. You see? And part of that commitment is he's not going to walk into smoke shops and hang around people that smoke. Now, would you say that if a person does that, he's not committed to giving up the habit? He's 100% committed. But he realizes, part of the commitment is, he realizes that he has a weakness. So he has to protect himself. You see? That is a return to the Derech HaYashar. You see, return to the Derech HaYashar doesn't mean now I have no weaknesses. I mean, that's unrealistic.
So one thing in Chozal Dabar does that mean?
That means to say, it's not a prediction. I mean, a person can't make a prediction. How can I predict? I'm a Navi. I know I will never return to this. How do you know? It means his frame, that's his commitment. That's his commitment, that he has given the thing up totally. You see, does that mean that I say to myself, even if a guy is going to come and tempt me, well, maybe I'll lose my conviction then, so I better protect myself. You see, but that is... See, that's what I'm trying to say. The tshuva is not from an action. It doesn't mean, I'm not going to do this action. That's not the thing. What do you care about the action? It's his His derech is a false derech. A guy that's involved in this action, it means he's not thinking straight. He's correcting that. He's saying, I am now going to think straight. You see, part of thinking straight is, I'm going to protect myself against temptations to this action. The essence is not, will I do that action again? It's not that action. That action is an indicator that he's off track. He's not thinking straight. And let's say the guy does do that action. What does that mean? You see, oh, you did the action again. You see, in other words, you can't look at it as like a scoreboard. Like, oh, you did that again, now you're in trouble. It's not the action. It's if you did it, it means that you're not on the right track. There's something, you're not thinking straight.
Yeah, you have to change something.
You have to change the thinking. Now, if I say, well, I'm going to, now I'm changing my thinking, and part of my thinking is I'm going to protect myself to make sure that I don't fall back into the old way. Well, that's on the contrary. That's the greatest commitment to the Derech HaYashar.
And you don't have a real realization that thing's wrong. You wouldn't need that if you knew that thing was wrong.
What's that?
You wouldn't need that if you knew that thing was wrong.
Well, you can know intellectually that the thing is wrong, but you might not be able to overcome the temptation. Because just knowing something intellectually doesn't necessarily translate to action. Like, sometimes it's like very hard for your intellect to override what you really want, even though you know what's wrong.
Right.
See, that's a question, that's a philosophical question. I mean, that is a broad philosophical question that we can't get into.
But it's not the thing itself that you're discussing.
But it's not, that's right, exactly.
It's,
and
because it's...
It's his...
Like you're going to set up barriers. Is what
right,
you're
exactly.
It's not the thing
it's
itself.
Not the
that
action.
You're...
That's the only thing I'm trying to say. In other words, I'm not trying to solve the philosophical problem of whether if a guy does something, could he know something's wrong and ever be tempted by it? That's, I don't think we could really decide that. But the only thing that we could show from the Rambam is that tshuva is not the action. It's not, will I do this? Won't I do this? It's what that action means in terms of his derech. You know what I mean? And if the person adopts the correct derech, even if the part of the derech is I have to protect myself because I might repeat it, you see, that's also rational. That's also a rational method of operating. And that's tshuva. As long as the person adopts a rational method of operating, that's tshuva.
You said irrational, not irrational. Right?
Rational.
Irrational. So you're not defining derech as what he would do or what he wouldn't do. You're defining it as how he does things or
exactly.
How he doesn't.
How he maneuvers. That's right.
Commitment.
That's right.
But meaning it's not,
this
whether
particular.
He would do this thing.
Yeah, will I do this? What? Yeah, it's how
is he. It's more like what he's doing or what he's not doing. Not what he would do.
That's what he's saying. Not what he would or wouldn't do. It's how he's proceeding. How does he proceed? Before he was proceeding one way, whatever I want to do. Now he's proceeding differently. His life, he's organized his life under the command of his mind. That's true. If he's organized his life under the command of the mind, then he's a shav. If he hasn't, it doesn't matter whether he's going to do it again or not. He's not a shav. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess my question was based on what I guess Shulah Kimura might be. So I guess what you're saying is, so I always thought to be able to say, well, I mean, close the door, that means, which I thought that was basic tshuva, that means that you've changed your, your personality, your whole way of life in a way that, like, the way you are now, not that you can predict the future, but the way you are now,
right.
you, no matter what temptations there are, you won't do it because you see so clearly that this is...
Oh, yeah, okay.
That gets to be true with Gemara, right?
Sure.
But you're saying that regular tshuva is someone who is changing his derech, he's changed his way of life, and he has the recognition of what the reality is, that he won't do it again so long as he doesn't, he's realistic about who he is, and he won't let himself as best as he can fall into that situation.
Right.
He recognizes
I'm just saying, in other words, the tshuva means where I recognize the good. That this is the good and that's not the good. I remeasure. That's what tshuva is. The chait is based on a false measurement. Now I use the mind and I remeasure. I say, this is not the good. This is the good. If a person does that, that's tshuva. Now, if a person can do that And it's still relative to situation. As long as I'm in the situation, I know I can maintain that. A person that does that is, you know, on that level, that's anagama. If a person, if it's an absolute, there's nothing that could dislodge that idea, that's true anagama.
And all
just means that's his recognition, because when a guy sees something's bad, he's going to say, I'm not doing this again. I mean, it's just, it's not a, you know, really like a magical thing. It's a person sees something is bad. It's not the good. He remeasures. He says, this is not good. He's going to go, I'm not doing this again.
You could say that's simply like qualifying his framework then. I mean, Lola Kinyfuzzer is not saying like, literally it's impossible.
It's not a prediction.
I can't qualifying what kind of framework the therapy is on right now.
Exactly. But we'll do a little more next week, because next week the Rambam talks about that the God is gives the God is testified that the person will never do it again.
That's
good. You know, like, testifies. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you going to testify?
It's a good
okay. Stenographer and everything.
Right, exactly. It's written down there.
God's like, are you sure you wanna, you know?
Nice.